40 مسجد للسنة، هناك قرابة 10 مساجد فقط إلى الشيعة. في منطقة السيف حاولوا أن يبنوا لهم مسجد، منعوا من بنائه حتى الآن رغم استمرارهم في المحاولة 10 سنوات بأرض من عندهم. فهم يعانون من هذه الممارسات ويعتقلون لخطاب يوم الجمعة، يستجوبون ويعتقلون لخطابات المنبر الحسيني.
He went on to mention that tens of thousands of Sunni foreigners had also been naturalized in order to tip the demographic balance. At the same time, the regime has introduced laws that strip citizens of their citizenship, leaving them stateless. To date, over 70 people have had their citizenship revoked, including lawyer Timur Karimi. Campaigners say the revoking of citizenship is being used as a tool to silence activists and those opposing the regime. Timur told me he was neither affiliated to any political party nor was he politically active.
أولاً أنا كنت محامي أشتغل، وقانون المحاماة لا يجيز للغير بحريني اشتغال بالمهنة المحاماة، وكان هاي مصدر رزقي الوحيد. وفي الظروف اللي كان عندي أولادي 3 في الجامعة، أنا كنت أنفق عليهم خارج البحرين. أنا كنت أنفق عليهم، غير بأن زوجتي كانت مريضة عندها سرطان وتعالج، وكانت تعالج يعني في الظروف. انسحبت جنسيتي ووقفوا عن العملي يعني في ظروف قاسية كنت وما زلت.
As the crackdowns increase, many families are publicly demanding justice for their killed sons. A number of fathers of martyrs protest on a nightly basis in their villages and find themselves being targeted and persecuted. Maki Taki is a father of 23-year-old Mahmoud Taki, who was amongst the first casualties of the revolution.
With my family, of course, they come the same others on the blacklist. They kick out from the work without any reason. My son, my daughter, 3 of my son, real estate, they're closing my office, want me to stop and cancel my case about my son. They take me on the jail also.
He told me many of the fathers are frequently arrested without being given any reason and are forced to sign documents that result in them being charged.
They slapped me, but they told me, you have to choose. We have a big bottles to sit in and we have a churches by electric. We have also a big hose and we have 2 big guides to rape you or take your daughter to bring her here.
Police brutality is a common occurrence in Bahrain. According to Human Rights Watch, despite pledges of reform, the police continue to beat and torture civilians, including minors.
Tens of houses in a daily basis being attacked, money being stolen, valuable item being stolen by those police institution and police personnel who been brought from outside the country. And it is very ugly thing when you see your country, your nation are suppressed by people who are brought from outside.
The police system is made up of mainly naturalized people from Jordan, Syria, Pakistan and Yemen, almost all of whom belong to the Sunni community. The Bahrain Center for Human Rights has accused the security forces of even militarizing hospitals and preventing people from getting medical treatment.
We have thousands of people living and the pellets in their bodies from the shotgun, and they can't even go to remove it. They're afraid government will. Thousands of people. We have tens of people who lost their eyes because they were shot in the eyes. And we treated them at home because if they go to hospital, they're going to be arrested.
Police checkpoints are also heavily deployed around the entry and exit points of many Shia villages. As I drove from the capital Manama towards the villages, the more and more it felt like entering areas that were under occupation.
ممكن عبر أي زيارة راح تشوف أن هناك نقاط عسكرية في أغلب القرى الشيعية. هنا راح تشوف نقطة تفتيش لمدخل البلاد، هذه نقطة ثابتة، وهناك نقاط متحركة ممكن توضع ليلة الجمعة أو ليلة السبت اللي هي تكثر، أو نقاط توضع في أي وقت من الأوقات. هذه النقاط ممكن أن يعني تستوقف السيارة، ممكن تطلب يعني هوية تعريف، ممكن أن تقوم بضربك، ممكن أن تقوم باعتقالك، وهذا حدث إلى الكثيرين من المواطنين. فالقرى الشيعية، البيوت الشيعية تتعرض للمداهمة بمعدل على الأقل 10 بيوت يومياً، قد يصل المعدل إلى 20 و30 في بعض الليالي، ولكن معدل 10 بيوت ليلياً.
In addition to the checkpoints and foot patrols, helicopters buzz overhead around Shia villages day and night. They film and monitor the residents below. So throughout my stay, I had to ensure my camera was constantly concealed, hence making filming outside a very difficult task.
It is very common when I sit with somebody in the coffee shop and, you know, we're whispering what we're talking to each other. We give the nicknames and try to hide what we're saying. It is. We are always the same. We are walking, and sometimes you're thinking somebody is following you. You don't feel safety anywhere, especially in public places, a cafe shop or something. No, you can't feel safe.
Children are also being routinely detained, ill-treated and tortured in Bahrain, according to human rights groups. Most children have been arrested on suspicion of participating in so-called illegal gatherings, rioting and throwing Molotov cocktails.
We have seen people up to 8 to 10 being detained.
And they get tortured?
Of course they have been tortured, and the judges themselves have seen a lot of signs of torture in their bodies. Because the juvenile, when he's arrested, normally he won't go to the juvenile center. He will go to the police station, where he will be tortured and forced to confess.
Such was the case for a young boy from his village who was arrested from his house and falsely accused of participating in a demonstration.
They took him into the police station. They give him a Molotov cocktail bottle and they photograph him. And he's charged now of holding or having a Molotov cocktail and using them against police. They want to put as much as juvenile or children in jail.
He went on to tell me that many of the children are kept in adult detention facilities and the government forces have detained at least 200 children to date.
I've come to Sana'a base to meet one of the youngest political prisoners of the revolution who was detained for apparently throwing Molotov cocktails.
Jihad al-Samir, now 11, was 10 years old at the time. He was given a 2-year sentence, of which he has spent 6 months in detention.
I will not exaggerate if I tell you each and every Shia family in Bahrain have at least one person who has been killed or tortured or exiled or in detention.
Still affected by his detention, Jihad was scared to speak to me, so I spoke to his father instead.
There was a march here in Sanabis and they arrested him during that. He was charged for attacking police and being in possession of Molotov cocktails. They beat him upon detaining him. He was slapped and punched. They threatened to electrocute him. At the beginning they treated them really badly. In the first 2 days he was in solitary confinement. He's a child. Of course he was afraid.
His father told me that his son had responded to all the accusations with tears.
You know, a child, so innocent. See the way he's even shy to talk to you and to me. And imagine a guy like this. They will charge him on violence or an attack on police.
With worsening conditions and little in the way of reform, the people of Bahrain vow to continue with their struggle.
قامت نظام إنساني ديمقراطي يراعي مصالح جميع البحرينيين من الخليفة ومن الشيعة ومن السنة، هو طريق البحرين إلى التقدم والتحديث والاستقرار. الاستمرار في النظام القبلي لم يعد ممكن ولم يعد مقبول، وهو كان مصدر إلى المشاكل دائما وسيستمر في مصدر إلى المشاكل الأمنية والاقتصادية، والبحرين تحتاج إلى الاستقرار وتعاون جميع أبنائها. إلى هذا الشعب الكريم المطالبة بالحقوق عملية ضرورية على أن تستمر بطريقة سلمية وصولا إلى حقوقنا في مواطنة متساوية ودولة ديمقراطية.
Just days after giving me this interview, Sheikh Ali Salman was arrested and put on trial. The authorities have accused him of promoting political change using illegal forceful means, charges he firmly denies. His detention has led to a wave of anger sweeping across the country.
Now the change comes in my time or comes in my son's time. The defeat when I decide to stop, the defeat when my people start to stop and surrender, the victory when we are in the street and continue our struggle, and we are in the street and we are continuing our struggle. So will I'm going to see the change or not, never comes in my mind. Never important to me, as much as we have to keep fighting for the change.
Position between Saudi Arabia and Iran, Bahrain has always been of strategic importance to the West. And it's the only state in the Persian Gulf where a Sunni monarchy rules over a Shia majority. Once a British protectorate, it gained independence in 1971, and since then, the ruling Al Khalifa family has enjoyed close defence ties with Britain.
It's nearly 50 years since Britain formally left the Middle East. It will now return to the region to establish its first permanent military base in the Mina Sulman port area, which is also home to the US Navy's Fifth Fleet.
Your security is our security. Your prosperity is our prosperity. Your stability is our stability. I was delighted last night to sign a memorandum of understanding with His Excellency Sheikh Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa in the presence of His Royal Highness the Crown Prince. That arrangement will put the long-standing presence of the Royal Navy in Bahrain on a permanent footing.
The deal signed at a security conference in the country's capital, Manama, hasn't been welcomed by everyone. Demonstrations broke out across Bahrain to denounce the plans, with protesters demanding the expulsion of Ian Lindsay, Britain's ambassador to Bahrain.
The Bahraini people are really is very, very angry, and I think we have seen big demonstrations in Sitra, for example. The biggest one was in Sitra, against the base, against the British new policy. The first reason was about the timing. They announced about the base at the time of the failure of the negotiations. They announced about the base where no political reforms, no human rights reforms. Number two, the cost of the base was from the Bahraini budget. Third, without taking any views from opinion from the Bahraini people.
Bahrain's ruling family received heavy criticism for the way it violently cracked down on protesters who were demanding reform and social equality in 2011. In the years since, crackdowns and imprisonment of activists has continued. Campaigners say that Bahrain's human rights record has further regressed. Despite these turbulent events, the British government entered into negotiations to construct the base.
In October 2012, the UK and Bahrain did sign a memorandum of understanding on defence cooperation. Again, that was at a time when the crackdown was very clearly continuing and human rights situation in Bahrain was continuing to worsen. But talks about military cooperation have continued regardless.
The £15 million cost of building the base will be paid by Bahrain, with the UK covering ongoing costs. The British authorities have said the base is there to address threats to regional security.
Of course, it's nothing. In terms of military equipment, is nothing comparing with the American base. I think it is a political message.